thank you, Lord, for your blessings on, you know, when you ask children to ask kids things, they're thankful for, all the right things. A home, a family, friends, the things they have, thankful for food. And the time that we live in right now, not everybody can say that, because everybody has food. Not everybody has a family. Not everybody has a place to stay. And so we say, thank you, Lord, for all these things I have. We certainly are thankful for having the things in the community, well, materialistically, that keep us safe and warm. We know there are people that go without. And again, I'm thankful for this church, for all the ministries that meet people's needs. We walked into Oakwood Baptist Church Friday. We were the last ones there. We were going, like, I think it might have come to far. There's a lot of Charleston kids there that weekend. And Robbie, he's been in charge of youth all the time that I've done youth. And he, as soon as we walked in, and said, hey, you got a big group. I saved your seat up here. So we were leaving. He said, hey, thanks for still doing this. I said, we're still doing what? He said, for investing in children, young people. You've been doing it all your life. I said, that's what I've been called to do. This person that I, went through high school with, we were good friends, and she works at the middle school. At the end of the day on Friday, I was coordinating all these kids to put this food together for the Lord's Pantry, but we did a food drive. And I went to tell this teacher where I had her kids. I said, hey, we're getting this food together. I'm taking the candy. We have to do it now. Is it okay if they miss your class? She goes, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You still doing all that stuff in the pantry and all this stuff while you've been here at school? You've been... I said, yes, she. You know, I always knew there was something special about you in your school. And so she started crying. I said, I really need to take that food to the pantry. Because we're running out of time. We're leaving it right after school. We're leaving it now. And she goes, seriously, you just keep looking at that stuff. I said, you know what? I don't need to think about it. I just do what we're supposed to do. We help other people. But I'm really thankful about you. So I text her for her. Thanks for saying that. And, you know, this weekend, we had three from our group that went forward on the last night in Maine cities. And, gosh, I'll go all over the world, and I'll sleep on the floor and do whatever you want me to do to get people to know Jesus. And so I am a little tired this morning. Chris is really tired. And thank you, Chris, for making that possible. But, and I look around at these youth things that I go to, and a lot of people that I was a youth pastor with are now pastors, and they're still doing this because we care about what people do and say and think, and we want to love Jesus. And last night at the end, these three that came forward, they just said, we just want to get serious about God. This one guy said, he just wants to be a little more serious about God. I thought we were pretty serious about God, because I just got to be more serious about it. Don't we all need to get more serious about God, certainly more thankful. And when we walked into Oakwood Baptist Church, Jenny, they had shoe boxes lined up all around that sanctuary, like way high. And I was thankful that they do that, and we do that too. And this morning, probably shared this story with me. She said it was okay that I shared this, and that's what I'll begin with this morning, because I just want us to be in this moment of being thankful. She was doing her angel shopping, and she had this toy, right? And she took it to the counter, and the lady kind of, oh, wow, someone's really going to have a great Christmas. Is this for your grandchild? She wanted a grandchild. But is this for, and Paula said, no, it's for the angel. You know what this girl said? She said, I was a recipient of that all the way through school. And it was difficult for people to find the right size for her. And she said, so I never got gifts like that. I have a whole room full of scarves and hats left over from the angel love. And gosh, I wish when I was a kid that you had been my angel and bought gifts from me. See those moments that we have that God gives us when we're obedient, reach out to people and it happens all the time. See, it doesn't just happen to me. God gives us these opportunities to do our kingdom work that I keep talking about, this kingdom work that we're feeling right now, meeting needs just as Jesus did. And so when we think about our needs being met, we thank God for these needs that are being met. I'm thankful again for all these ministries. And I thought this morning, man, we're asking people here to do a lot. We need turkeys, we need angels, we need shoe boxes. We're going to do some care packages for troops. But man, this is the kingdom. Meeting people's needs and hopefully putting a smile on their face. Just like little old lady called this morning. She says, is it too late to get my Thanksgiving dinner? And, God love her, but she was in army and she's lonely. I love her when her faith is gone. She really thanks the Baptist Church. And even though I'm Catholic, I sure appreciate the Baptist Church. And it doesn't really matter where you go. She just kept going on and on. And I was like, hey, so it's Sunday, and I really need to get it. Okay, so that lady will bring your food for you on Thursday. You won't forget. So we won't forget. So see, and we're thankful for these moments. I heard something this weekend. That's the scripture I want to share. It's something that I think we all get to be thankful for. And so we're going to look this morning in Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 10 through 19. Forever grateful. This speaker from California is he's an illusionist and a magician, and man, he captivated everybody. He certainly captivated me. And he kept talking about, God loves you right where you are. And in this scripture, it's talking about Saul, who then becomes Paul. If you remember his story? I mean, Paul was the one that was, murdering Christians, right? I mean, he was actually looking for Christians and hunting them down and killing them, right? He was a murderer. But see, just as God has a plan for all of us, and I read this story and remind you this weekend, man, God can change your life. You can. You can lead it to the one who can for years. Kids have said, oh, you changed my life. I didn't change anybody's life. I just took you on a trip, introduced you to this guy called Jesus, and he did the rest, right? God's the one who can change us. And if we think about all he was doing, horrible things. Certainly all against what Jesus was teaching, and certainly against any biblical teaching. He was hurting people. He was killing them. He was doing the opposite of what we're to be doing in loving people, right? And then God sent this guy named Ananias. There's not much about him, Bob. He did something awesome and something to be thankful for. And it says here in verse, as we begin in verse 10, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord told him, go to the house. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he is seeing a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, okay, so here's God's calling Ananias, and, he's telling him to go do something, right? Now, we're called to do all kinds of things, right? People ask us to do this and do that, and can you help with this, and can you help with that? And in the church, we're asking you to do lots of things. As we're doing our kingdom work, as you're doing your kingdom work, as ministry of the church and your ministry, and meeting needs, so God's telling Ananias, I need you to go pray for this guy. Now, first of all, Ananias is probably thinking, who? That guy that's killing Christians and I'm a Christian? I don't know if I want to go visit him. He's hunting down Christians, killing them. Why do you want me to go? Why? Who's to say he's not going to kill me? I'm a Christian. I'm working for Jesus, right? And so, this is his vision. In a vision, he's seeing a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. So we're talking about this Saul, who then becomes Paul. And think about it. There are people all over the world right now that are praying for answered prayer. There are lots of people all over the world that need prayer, don't realize that. And people are praying for them. They're being answered, right? Yeah, we're thankful for food on our table and shoes on our feet. Well, we are. But are we thankful for the things that are forever? And it says to the Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. So here's Ananias. He wants to do what God has called him to do, which I believe we all do. He wants to follow Jesus. And here's saying, Are you sure about this Saul that you want me to go pray with? But the Lord said to Ananias in verse 15. So remember, Saul here, he's killing Christians, and Jesus is a threat to the chief priests and those are in authority, and so Saul's kind of working for them, looking for Christians. And that's still happening. This guy from California, his name is Brock Gill, that was here this week. He goes all over the world, he's an illusion in the magic to captivate people. Goes into prisons, talk about going into a prison, and you get in a prison, you slam that door behind you, and you just pray, oh God, this is where you want me to be. And he talked about this guy, real life, in California, him and his wife, go all over, and they have been a part of, and been around people and know those that they've ministered to that have been killed for their faith. It's still happening. So Saul was killing Christians, and all of a sudden here, the Lord said to Ananias, go. Just go. Do you guys do that? Someone tells you to go. Try to, right? Get going, get moving, get out of the house, get to school, get to work, get there on time. I have a problem with that sometimes. Get going, go. But see, God's telling you, Ananias, just go. And I say this over and over and continue to remind myself of it every day. When God tells us to go do something, just go do it. Because he'll enable us, he'll equip us, and he'll empower us. He'll give us everything we need. All we just need to do is go. And here Ananias is like, I don't know. He's kind of scared for his life. I wouldn't be. This guy's telling Christians, right? How would you go get involved in that? But the Lord said to Ananias, go. Go, Ananias. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And Ananias is thinking, are you what? We do that too sometimes. God, you want me to teach Sunday school? I don't even like kids. God, you want me? You want me to work with the youth? Teenagers are horrible, right? God, you want me to help with Thanksgiving dinner? I can't even make a peanut butter sandwich, right? And when God tells us that we're going to do something, just do it. If you know what the reality of this is, the reality is when God calls us to do something, if you say no, pick somebody else. God doesn't really need us. We need him. He doesn't really need us. He's God. He'll get it done. He'll get it done. But use somebody else. And if we don't do what he asks us to do, we miss out on the blessing. And we mess up God's plan. Boy, I don't want to do it. I'm going to mess up God's plan. And I certainly want to be blessed. So, God says, here's this guy, and he's been chosen. I need you to go talk to him. So let's see what he does. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So God's telling Ananias, I want you to go to this guy named Saul. Yeah, you know what he's done, but I have a plan for him. He's going to change. You're not going to change him, Ananias. I'm going to change him. I just need you to go. Do what I tell you to do. And I've got a plan for this guy. And Ananias doesn't realize he's part of the plan. And I said, realize, if he's a part of the plan, it's actually going to change the world. He doesn't realize that. So, then Ananias says, okay, well, I'll do it. Right? So he went. And he says, and then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you. Remember, Saul had this vision that this is going to happen. And Ananias is just carrying out the plan, right? He's just a part of God's plan, just like we all are, right? So he just goes. And he says to him, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ananias is like, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit working through me, right? Ananias basically just went to pray. And I just went. And God prepared the rest. And it says here that I was just sitting here by God. That vision you had, I'm part of it, right? You had that vision. It's coming true right now. God sent me here. And he placed his hands on Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He made it very clear. Saul was going to kill him. Right? Because Ananias made it very clear why he was there. I was sent by God. And it says here that immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. And he could see it again. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And we know that Saul later on, his name becomes Paul, right here as you read on it. I encourage you to do that on your own, that, you know, he goes on to do all these awesome things. Several days, he met with the disciples and began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is Lord. Now, but people don't believe this guy. Like, ooh, he's killing people. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm getting out of here. Yeah, you do that too. We all do that, right? We know people we've grown up with, been around, and they say, oh, I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm working in the pantry today. And so, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. God's changed your life, right? That happens to people. God changes them. And so, the message I want us to take from this is, wow. If I'm Paul, I would be forever grateful to this Ananias guy that did what he was told, right? God said, I need you to go and do this. And I'm going to take care of the rest. The Holy Spirit's going to show up and move and do all the work. I just need you to go and be an instrument, right? God calls us to do that. To be an instrument through a shoebox, through a turkey, through an angel out there, through a visit. God calls us to do that. And so this morning, man, here's Paul. He goes on, and he's in prison, and he's praying to proclaim Jesus. But would that really happen if Ananias wasn't done? No. God had his plan, right? And Ananias, and I'm sure if Ananias was that, God would just pick somebody else, just like he does with us, right? But Ananias here did what he was supposed to do. We don't hear much more about Ananias in the Bible. Happened. But wow. He did something that changed someone else's life. It was a part of changing the world. Paul in prison, still praying for people and ministering, starting churches. Because, yes, he was a sinner and he was a savior, just like you were. Just like we all are. Sinners in need of a savior. And Paul now should be forever grateful. Certainly for what God has done in his life, but for the people God uses. Man, are we thankful for that? Are we grateful for the people that led us there? And, you know, this weekend, just, you know, being with that, we just had an awesome group of kids. Not just because my son was one of them, but I've watched Grant grow up with these kids and be in school with these kids and all these, and seeing these kids at school and coaching them and then being with all these other Christians. And, man, so this weekend, I mean, after this week of just talking about Paul, he didn't read the scripture. I mean, God really laid it on my heart that I would share that this morning, that Paul should be forever grateful to Ananias, who came and prayed with him, and he was healed and was baptized and went on to do great things. Right? You know who's in prison, right? Why was he in prison? For doing God's work. That's why he was in prison. He was following the plan. Forever grateful. You know, and I just kind of was thinking about that all week, and on the way home while Chris was driving, and, you know, I was texting parents, giving updates, and one did say, are you driving? No! What are you talking about? Chris is driving. I'm communicating, and I'm praying and reflecting on what we're talking about. Forever grateful. And I thought, man, I'm forever grateful to this church, for the people that taught me about Jesus, certainly for my mom and dad that brought me here every Sunday, and all the experiences that I have, and now I'm thankful. I've always had food on my table, always had a place to live, and I've always had shoes on my feet, and always been thankful. And certainly forever grateful for all the people. You might have been one. All several here this morning. There have been Sunday school teachers of mine and that I'm thankful for that here I am, right? Trying to do what God wants us to do. And so I think we during this Thanksgiving holiday and week and break for some of you, and we're certainly giving thanks for the food on our table and shoes on our feet and the clothes on our back. And thank you for our times with family. Hopefully you're thankful for all the people being a part of your team. The people that brought you to church and taught talking, or led you to Jesus. And I said, well, man, they get so excited. People do what they're called to do. You know, and when they have these kids go for, you're supposed to go back and pray, but I can't do that. I'm crying. Right? I can't talk to you right now. Right? Forever faithful. If God is forever faithful, He's forever loving. So therefore, we should be forever grateful. God, this morning, there's just so much going through my mind right now on my heart that I'm thankful for. We focus too much on all the stuff that's in our minds and on our hearts that bother us, concern us, and cause us to worry. I think we work more on filling our hearts with praise, and thanksgiving, and gratefulness. God, this week, God, not just this week, and not just on Thursday, but every day, we're thankful for all of our blessings, for what you provide for us and do for us. But we're thankful for those that led us to you, that were a part of that. Everybody has someone. Everybody in here is doing that now. That's our kingdom work. It's leading people to Jesus, sharing the faith, loving others, doing our work for the kingdom here on earth. But people might make those decisions. Their life might be changed forever. We can't do that. But God, you can. Thank you, God, for using this church. It's not here these other youth pastors and churches talk about they're struggling with this. They can't get kids here because they don't have the money. Oh, wow. I'm thankful for this church. It makes those things happen. That boys who are discouraged and upset, they didn't make a basketball team. They gave their heart to Jesus. They were supposed to be in Charleston. I believe that. Thank you for this church for making those opportunities available. To change lives forever and cause us to be forever. God, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's never surrendered their heart to you, never given their life to Jesus, they do it right now. Those who have fallen away and made horrible mistakes, we all do. Fallen away from the church, we still love them. Certainly we do. God, whatever decisions need to be made this morning, or if you just need prayer, I pray we do. God, may we always be grateful, forever and ever, because we serve a forever God who is always faithful and loves us right in our moment, right where we are. Always in prayer. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.